It's a real honor and privilege to be here tonight.
Amen.
To preach out of God's Word. And the burden I have tonight, the message I have, if I was entitling it, it'd be the Word of God. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. The Bible is God's Word to mankind. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness." You know, if you was buying a new car, it comes with an owner's manual, doesn't it? And that owner's manual tells you how to take care of that car. Tells you what kind of oil to put in that car. What grade, what weight of oil. It tells you how often you should have an oil change. What kind of antifreeze to put in it. It tells you tire pressures. It tells you when certain lights come on, what you need to do. It gives you warnings. There's warning lights. Maybe your brake fluid is leaking or whatever. It tells you what to do about that. And if you go by the owner's manual, you can avoid a lot of problems down the road with your vehicle. It'll be a good car for a lot of years. We know God made us, and God wrote this book for us. It's our owner's manual for life. And it'll save us a lot of problems, avoid a lot of problems on the road of life if we go by God's owner's manual. If we have problems with drugs, the Word of God can help. If we have problems with alcohol, the Word of God can help us. If we have marital problems, the Word of God can help us. It's the glue that sticks the marriage together, Jesus Christ. We have problems with pornography. The Word of God can help us. Maybe you have a problem in life today just coping. Maybe you're down and out. Maybe you're depressed with no hope. You wonder why you was ever born. The Word can help. The Word of God can give hope where there was no hope. The Word of God can give peace where we have no peace. The Word of God can give happiness where there's no happiness. And the Word of God can give purpose of life when we feel we have no purpose for our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." What that means? It means it helps us, guides us through life. It helps us to avoid dangers. It's the light. You know, if I told you it was midnight out, as dark could be, and I told you to run through this 20-acre field with no flashlight or anything, run. It'd be kind of dangerous, wouldn't it? Let's say there's a swamp out there. There's quicksand out there. There's fencing out there. There's sticks, stumps, logs. You start running, you're not going to last too long before you get hurt some way or the other. You may have a stick jab you right in the eye. You may trip over the stump. You may run into the fence. I had the youth kids over at a house one night years ago, and they thought it was neat to go running through our woods. They come back a little while later, kid's got his shirt all tore. I said, "What happened to you?" And he pulls up his shirt and he's all bloody. He said, "Well, I just ran into the barbed wire fence." But, you know, as we need a light to run through that woods, it's suicidal to run through life's road without Jesus Christ, without the Bible.
Amen.
In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." You know, we have all sorts of temptations in this world. And Satan knows every trap, every trick, every temptation of yours and mine. He knows the pork chop to wiggle in front of us. Like a dog, you wiggle a pork chop in front of them, they're following it, aren't they? Well, we have all our weak spots, and Satan knows them. And the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." We can be strong in the word to be able to avoid the temptations of life. In 2 Timothy, here's some words of God that are kind of discouraging. It starts out, it says, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Preach the word in season, out of season. Reproof, rebuke, and exhort, and with all longsuffering with the doctrine." But it says right here, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts they shall heap themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall turn to fables." Isn't that sad? It says, there will be a come a time the people will get away from the true word of God, and they'll start preaching a bunch of fables. And I see that today. There's a lot of churches out there that aren't preaching the true word of God. And people being suckered in to some type of religion other than what the Lord wanted them to be, a true Christian. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it starts out like this. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Doesn't that sound like today? "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." We see that today. You look at Notre Dame, they used to seat 60,000 people in their stadium to watch football. That wasn't enough. They had to seat 80,000 now. And now I heard on news the other day they plan on making it bigger yet. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How many churches are growing from 60,000 to 80,000 Sunday morning? Do you ever see that? No, you don't see that here. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Denying the power of the Word of God. And in verse 7 it says, "Ever learning." We're always learning. People are on the computer learning all sorts of stuff. Going to college, going to school for years and years. And it says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Of the knowledge of the Word of God. Learning everything but the Word of God. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Shouldn't we be learning something that will never pass away? The Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You want to have faith grow? Get into the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and the spirit, and judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart." When this was written, it says, the word of God was quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The two-edged sword was the most powerful weapon that a Roman soldier could have. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And if you would paraphrase that today, we aren't talking about a sword, we're talking about the atomic warhead. The Bible, the Word of God, is more powerful than the atomic warhead, anything man could devise. And in John 17, 17, it says, "The Word is truth." It's hard to find truth this day and age, but the Word is truth. And you know, Satan hates the Word of God. because it is truth. He started lying way back to Eve, didn't he? Huh? He hasn't stopped. This nation that we live in today, I believe, is going down the tube spiritually and morally very fast. It seems like we're trying to get the Word of God out of everything we can. And it's a spiritual battle going on in this country. And the Bible talks about the spiritual battle. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It starts out, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that when you may be able to stand," so you'll be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're having a spiritual battle in this country today more than I've ever seen in the days I've been. I'm 58 years old. I've never seen the United States of America have the spiritual battle like we're having today. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, it says, "Righteousness lifts up a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." Amen. And in Psalms chapter 33, verse 12, the Word of God says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord." Amen. You know, as I preach, you notice I keep quoting Scripture. And that's what you should do when you preach. You don't go by all the fluff some of these television evangelists are preaching. There's some good ones, but there's a lot of bad ones. You got to get in the Word yourself and see if they're preaching the Word or preaching lies, preaching fluff.
That's right, sir.
One evangelist said, he says, "You know, some of these preachers out there are sending people to hell with a positive attitude." And that's right. People think they're doing the right things, but they're not. They're not in the Word of God themselves. They're believing a bunch of fluff. You know, every time the nation of Israel, you get back in the Old Testament and study this. Every time the nation of Israel was living for the Lord and following the Lord blessed that nation. And every time the nation of Israel turned away from God, God cursed that nation. Is the United States any different? It's only so long that the Lord will bless this nation. And He'll take His protection, His loving arm away from this nation. If we want a nation without God, He may give us a nation without God and see how we like it. We need revival here. In the United States, it seems like we need to be tolerant to everything but the Word of God. And to Christians, do not compromise the Word of God. We don't want to be tolerant to people that stand up for the Word of God anymore. Instead of being biblically correct, we want to be politically correct. And I'd rather be biblically correct any day than politically correct. Because someday, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No matter who you are. There's a lot of churches out there today that are lukewarm. And in Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it talks about that. The Lord talks about a church being lukewarm. Revelations chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I rather have you cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." That's what the Lord says. He doesn't have any use for a church that is lukewarm. And we have churches struggling today whether gay marriage is right or wrong. You know, it's a no-brainer. If you're studying the Word of God, there's no gray area. It's nothing lukewarm. Let me show you what the Word of God says about this. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 6 through 9. This is what Jesus says. But from the beginning of the creation, God made male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Though they are no more two, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And then we have some other verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. Sometimes when we stand for the Word of God, and we stand for what's right because it is the Word of God, we are called haters. We are called intolerant. We're even called evil because we stand for the Word of God. We're just messengers. When I preach, I'm a messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God says? He says, preach the Word. Amen. Don't pay attention to man and his laws. Preach the Word. Use the Word of God when you preach, because that's where the power is in the Word of God. And in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, this is what the Word of God says about people that wants to twist the Word of God and call evil good and good evil. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and are clever in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall be up to dust. And because they have cast away the laws of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, they're going to rot. They're going to be burnt. That's what the Word of God says here. And that's not what I'm saying. We're not candy coating things here tonight. This is the Word of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, the Bible says, tells us right here, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Know this, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And it goes on to say, and such were some of you. Listen to this word. It says, but were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified. And by the Spirit of our Lord and our God. But it says right here, but were some of you. No matter what situation in, whatever sin you've been in, you can be saved. And when you come to Christ, you're a new person, because it says, such were some of you. You can't be those things and still be a Christian. It says, what, that's what you were. But the Bible says, if in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the book of John, Chapter 8, it talks about the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' time. They brought this woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus, asking him, what should we do with this lady? Should we stone this lady? And Jesus says, he that is without sin among you, cast the first stone. And those scribes and Pharisees left because they knew they all have sinned. But the last words Jesus told that woman, he says, go and sin no more. You don't keep doing that sin. When you become a Christian, you don't keep mingling in them old sins you used to be in. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What I see today is, it's fine and dandy to say you're a Christian, live like the devil, and Sunday go to church. That's not what it's all about, being a Christian. You're a new creature in Christ. Amen. Don't be a hypocrite like the scribes and the Pharisees did. Don't do what's popular. Christianity gets a bad enough name as it is without everybody spouting off saying they're a Christian and living like the devil. They're turning people away from Christ. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle of a road. There's no straddling the fence. Amen. If you say you're a Christian, it's an awesome responsibility. So if you're not living it, don't talk it. Don't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. You know, it's not popular right now being a Christian. But you know, who cares? The only one we have to answer to is Jesus Christ. All these Hollywood people and all these people that make fun of Christians, they can say all they want. Someday, they're accountable for it. You know, another big lie out there, is this what I hear? There's many ways to God. What a big lie. I watched one of these talk shows, and the host, this lady that hosts this well-known talk show host lady, she having a show on religion. And they're saying, there's many ways to God. And then a Christian gal stood up and says, you know, no, that's not right. There's only one way to God. Amen. And that talk show host says, it can't be possible that there's only one way. How can God be so narrow-minded, only having one way? That lady never read her Bible. It's cut and dry. There's no question, there's no doubt, there's no debate. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. It also says, Jesus says this stuff here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there that find it. That's the road to hell. Many be there to find it. Road is broad and wide, and many be there to find it. The road to hell. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Isn't that a sad verse? Few be there that find it. But it is the word of God, and it is truth. And the next verse says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. They look innocent like a sheep. No threat with a sheep. But these people spewing out false doctrine, leading people astray, leading people away from the true word of God. It says they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. And we go on. Jesus goes on in verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It didn't say, he that talketh did it. It said, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, the day of judgment, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and cast out demons in thy name, and done many wonderful works for you, Lord? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work wickedness. I never knew you. Wouldn't that be sad when you get before the Lord and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work wickedness. And in John, 1 John 2:22, here's what the Word of God says again. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He that saith this is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, as we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man deceive you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the principles of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. We got to beware, because Jesus is the answer for the cancer of sin in this world today. Yeah, it's not easy and it's not popular to be a Christian anymore in the USA like it used to be. It used to be popular. And because of talk show hosts and Hollywood and the news and the internet and even some people in government, they want to demonize the Christians, the ones that stand for the Word of God, because it is a threat to their sin and their walk. Just like I read that in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where it talked about good will be considered bad and bad will be considered good. In Matthew chapter 16, 24, Jesus says, and you know I always say Jesus says. That's the one we want to listen to, isn't it? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I tell you, being a Christian isn't for sissies. Huh? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Yeah, you can have all the fancy cars, boats, money, all the Hollywood scene. And you really look at the Hollywood scene, how many of them people are really happy? They're in drug rehab, they're getting married, divorced, and all this kind of stuff going on. It isn't a bed of roses, Hollywood. But for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And down to verse 27, it says, Jesus shall reward every man according to his works. 1 John 3:13, it says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Marvel not. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. In John chapter 15, starting with verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. What did they do to Jesus? They nailed him on the cross. Yeah. It isn't for sissies. And in John chapter 15, verse 25, Jesus said, "They hated me without cause." Why'd they hate him? He healed people. He made the blind see, made the lame walk. He preached love. He preached peace. And they nailed him to the cross for our sins. You know, I've preached a lot of negative stuff. When you stand for Christ, Jesus also says there's blessings. Even through times that you wouldn't think we'd be blessed. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall curse you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Great is your reward in heaven. You may suffer some here now. But you know, this body's temporary. It's not going to last forever. But hell is for eternity. Heaven is for eternity. You pay your dues now, or you pay your dues later. And even if you're living in sin, you may think you have it made. The Bible says sin is fun for a season, but you reap what you sow. It'll catch up with you sooner or later. So it's better to stand for Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Here's some hope. In Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away." That's a hope we have in Jesus Christ. Where do you stand with Jesus Christ? If you would die today, where would you be? Would it be heaven or hell? Where would you be? You know, if you say you don't know, chances are you're on your way to hell. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. In 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That you can know for sure. I know I'm going to heaven. And it's not because I'm good and kind, I'm none of those things. I know I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus, paid the price for my sin on the cross. And I came to Him as my Lord and my Savior when I was age of 25. I went out to an old barn I had. I had chickens in it. I remember it well. It was a starlit night, and I got in the doorway of that barn about midnight. I was looking towards heaven on my knees. I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. And He took a man that used to hide in the restrooms of the church when he was a boy. And He changed my life and my priorities. And that's why I'm here tonight. Because I want to share that with you. Because I don't want to see anybody on their way to hell. We want to go to heaven. But Satan, he's pulling all he can. Pulling them down. And in the Word of God, in Revelation 20, verse 11, it talks about the great white throne judgment that's coming for everybody. It doesn't matter how rich, how poor, how famous, whoever you are, they all going to bow. And they're all going to be here at that judgment day. You can be You could be Bill Gates. You can be Donald Trump. You can be Oprah Winfrey. You can be President Obama. You can be whoever. But everybody's going to be here. And everybody's going to be judged the same way. It don't matter. The janitor to the president. And that's what's so great about our Lord Jesus Christ. He isn't partial. He isn't prejudiced. He's a just God. And here's what it says. And I, John, saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small, the great, stand before God, and the books were open, and other books were open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were all judged, every man according to their works. And the dead in hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? And the only way your name can be written in the book of life is come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Yes, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 11, verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Have you been searching for true happiness, true purpose of life, true peace? It only comes through Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak, meek, and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you burdened and heavy laden? Do you want to find rest for your soul? It's Jesus Christ. In this country today, we need a revival. We need a revival. And you know where that revival starts? Starts right here. Starts with you. And it starts with me. That's where our revival starts in this country.
Amen.
Do we want judgment or revival in this country? I want to see revival. Do we want blessing or judgment? And here's how we get it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's the opposite of pride, isn't it? Pride is sin. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. That's what it takes. We need to humble ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, pray and seek and turn from wickedness. Then, he says, he will hear and he will forgive and he will heal our land. Is the Lord tugging on your heart tonight? Where do you stand? Jesus Christ says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him. Is he knocking on the door of your heart tonight? Where do you stand? Jesus says in John 3, chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Satan kind of wanted to tear this one down. John 3, 16 through 18. God says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Condemned already. Those that were not written in the book of life will be in the lake of fire. Where do you stand? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." I've been coming to this jail since 1991. April 14th, 1991. That's 22 years. I've talked to a lot of people. And I hear this story over and over every time I come. You know, when I'm here at the jail, I want to do good. I come to jail service. I do Bible studies. And I say I'm never coming back to the Cass County Jail. But you know, I keep coming back. I'm in and out. Help me. What can I do to stay out of the jail? And I tell them this story. This story has a lot of wisdom to it. And those that heard me preach before has heard this story. It's a story about two cats. Well, this story starts out. There's an old missionary. This is back in the old cowboy, Indian day type stuff. Everybody's on horseback. And this old missionary, he had a burden for the Indian people. He cared. And he'd go on horseback from Indian village to tell the Indian people about Jesus Christ. He was telling an old Indian chief about Jesus one day. And that chief came to Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. So the missionary, he goes on from village to village. And he comes back about 3 months later. And he sees the old Indian chief sitting by the fire. And he goes up to the Indian chief. And he says, "How is it being a Christian now?" And the Indian chief says, "It's great. I have that peace that I never had before. The peace that passes all understanding. The load of sin is gone from my life that I always carried. And I know if I die, I'm on my way to heaven. It's great." But he says, "There's two cats inside of me. And they fight from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed." And the missionary says, "What are you talking about? What do you mean there's two cats inside of you?" And the Indian chief says, "Well, one cat represents the old flesh. The things that always got me in trouble, the things I always wanted to do. And the other cat represents the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ living inside of me. And they fight from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed." And the old missionary says, "Which cat usually wins?" This is the kicker of the whole story. "Which cat usually wins?" And the old Indian chief says, "The one I feed the most wins." So if you get out of the Cass County Jail and you're feeding the old flesh, hanging around the old friends you always hung around, you're going to be right back in here. But if you get in the Word of God, study the Word of God, get closer and closer to God when you're tempted by all that sin, the devil won't have his power. The Bible says, put on the full armor of God that you're able to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Jesus fills a void that we try to fill with earthly things. And God's will and goal in our lives is not to always make us happy, isn't always to make us healthy, and it isn't always to make us wealthy. God's will and goal in our lives are to make us more like Him. He wants us to be more like Him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? All unrighteousness. And one of my favorite verses, I said it earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're going to give an altar call here tonight, a time that you can come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And what might keep you back is pride. And pride is sin. And that's one of the tools Satan uses, is pride. What will people think if I go up front? Who cares? Someday we're all accountable in front of the Lord. And in Matthew 10:32 and 10:33, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Stand for Christ. It's better than falling for Satan. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua says, for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. You want to serve the Lord? You want to be on the winning side? The Lord's tugging tonight. As this song plays, come forward. I got these little booklets called Knowing God Personally. We'll say a sinner's prayer together up here. And you could leave here tonight knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. And it's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. So if the Lord's tugging, come on up.